It's the Darren Copeland Experience. You've never heard anything like it.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to be a doctor.
Doctor of what?
I'm a doctor of lyrical mastermind. Boom! Oh, I missed it. Oh, that makes me sad. No, I missed it. It's too late. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter.
Wow, the things that get you upset.
I just wanted to dance and rap.
I don't have any dance.
No, you haven't seen me dance.
I thought I saw you dance. I never want to see it again.
Makes me sad. I'm sorry that I get sad when I miss the thing. I try to be a perfectionist. I mean, there it is again.
a perfectionist, said Dan Chomsky at the Puppy
Dan
Bowl.
Dan Schotchner.
Schotchner.
Puppy Bowl referee Dan Schotchner.
Schotchner.
Dan Schotchner.
Noam Chomsky. I can't even come back at that. Oh, man.
You know, it's and this is the other thing, is that there's just nothing else going on. There's just nothing.
That's not true.
Well, you know, it is Groundhog Day, and February 2nd, and Punxsutawney Phil made his famous weather prediction Thursday morning, emerging from his burrow to see his shadow. It means, according to Groundhog Day tradition, the U.S. will brave another 6 weeks of winter. The groundhog, emerging from a sleep, squealed as he was pulled from his burrow about 7:15 a.m. He was hoisted in the air, placed on a stump of Gobbler's Nog before his official prognostication was made. You realize that Groundhog Day actually comes from Candlemas, which is an ancient European celebration midway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, to sort of gauge when they were going to have enough time. And so that's kind of where it was. They would look and see when the animals would come out of their burrows, and they would know that that's the time that they would start wanting to plant their crops.
I did not know that.
And it's also the reason why people in the olden days were 35, because they followed groundhogs and tried to see what they would do, and then they lived their lives based on what the groundhog saw.
They did have a remarkably short lifespan. That is true. I blame the groundhogs. It's their fault.
Groundhogs.
Yes. But it's not true that there's nothing going on. As a CU fan, I'm super excited about the signing day that we had yesterday.
Okay,
and I'm
okay.
Sure that there are, and I'm sure there are Rammies out there that are happy about.
Easy. Now, and I know. Okay, so we wanted to talk. I was going to talk about this, and I just had not bring it up. Brought.
I think it's an important thing. Both schools did really well.
Schools did very well. I'm surprised that you said something nice. Usually, you're not very nice about CSU.
We did better. But both
schools
did fine.
Well, and here's the thing that's so interesting about that is this, you know, for a lot of Colorado, University of Colorado people, there's just not that, right? There's not the hatred for CU that there is out of some other people. And you, who is a longtime native of the state, your irrational CSU behavior.
Dislike. It has nothing to do with the school or the team.
You were beaten as a child by a bunch of people in green shirts.
No, I am the only person in my family that did not attend CSU.
Oh, so you're personal.
So it's a personal thing for me, because they just are relentless. Whether they win or lose, they are relentless. Because if we win, they're just like, well, you know, you guys are supposed to win. Now, to be fair, over the last 10 years, we've been terrible.
Yes.
So we have not, I mean, but even then, it's like, well, you guys are supposed to win when we win. And then when we lose, it's like they just won the national championship. There's no winning for CU in this battle. I'm actually really excited that we're playing Air Force. Because Air Force is a team that, you know what, I don't care who you are, they might beat you. And there's no shame in losing to Air Force.
Well, I don't think there's any shame in, I think there, well, it depends on how you look at it. First of all, I think that there's a lot of shame in losing anybody. But on the other hand, you know, I think that CSU, you know, we talked about this. I talked about this last night, and the fact that, you know, that it's a real problem having that bad stadium, and it puts a conundrum, frankly, into the whole bowl system, because, you know, the Big 12 would love to add two teams, but they have no problem putting in a team in the South. They have Houston right there. They have a number of other teams that could come in at a moment's notice, you know, and play. I mean, they have ready teams in the South. But who are you going to put in the North? There's no one. You know, when you had Colorado, Colorado had this wide swath of nothingness. You can't put in CSU.
BYU.
You can't. BYU is further west. It's almost too much. It's if you weren't going to go for Utah, then you wouldn't go for BYU. I mean, that might be the one choice. But other than that, who do you have? You have Boise State, but they're even
farther west.
You have Wyoming.
You know what? Actually, Wyoming played really well this year. I don't know that their stadium matches up to what.
But they're not a Big 12. They're not a Big 12. School. I mean, can you imagine Texas going up there? I mean, they go up there once in a while, but can you imagine Texas going up there all the time? It's like going to Pullman, Washington.
I guess, and listen, I was actually rooting for the Big 12 to take CSU because at that point, then the CU-CSU game actually means something because now you've got two teams in big power conferences where the outcome matters at the end of the year for both teams. Because honestly, if CSU beats CU, it doesn't matter much for them because even if they run the table in the Mountain West, the chances of them making the national championship game is slim to none. But if they're in the Big 12, now they have a legitimate chance to go to a national championship game if they can win all their games.
Well, you know, what you saw with the Mountain West or a non-Power 5 conference, frankly, is that when Utah, with Alex Smith as their quarterback and Urban Meyer as their head coach, went out and destroyed Alabama and they had not lost a game and they were still only ranked number 2, if that team can't win the national title, then no team from the Mountain West can win it because that was the best. That was the best, probably the best Mountain West team.
Yes, but that was a different system. That same Utah team in this system is in the playoffs, and I guarantee you put that Utah team in the playoffs, they've got a good chance to win a national championship. It's on the field now. When Utah, they got robbed. I'll give you that. Utah never had an actual on the field chance to win a national championship when they were good, when they were great. But now they've got a real chance. You put CSU in the Big 12 with a new campus stadium, now that game matters. Now the school is in the running and it matters. So I was really disappointed that they didn't get in. But yeah, you're right. My dislike for CSU is purely personal. I have nothing against the school itself. It's a family matter.
I mean, you like vegetables, don't you? I mean, you like vegetables. You like meat.
I like to ride horses.
You like to ride horses?
I'm big fans of cows.
Well, you know, listen, they have one of the top two agricultural schools in the country, which is, you know, which is big business.
And I hate to say this, but their engineering program is actually pretty good, too, from what I understand. I've been told that by several individuals. That their engineering program, and they have a great veterinary program. I mean, I take my dog to the vet all the time. So thank you, CSU, for keeping my dog healthy and happy. You're giving me that look. Listen, I get it, man. There are a lot of Ramy fans out there that they stand by their school, and I get it, and that's cool. But do you honestly, you're a CU guy. I mean, you went to Ithaca, but you grew up in Boulder. You know CU
Brainwashed in Boulder. I had the CU football team come to my elementary school every day. Or not every day, but every year.
So you know. You know the program as well as I do, as well as anybody. Honestly, is it a real rivalry between these two schools? A real honest to God rivalry like USC UCLA, like CSU and Wyoming is a real rivalry.
So there was a long time where CU and CSU didn't play each other for a long time.
Years and years.
Yes, but when they started to play again on a regular basis, since then, I would say that for the most part, it's been relatively competitive. If you look at the whole series of CU-CSU in football, you see that CU has a big advantage. But there was a time there where CSU was, you know, in the Big Eight, and you know, and it was still Colorado A&M. There's a big gap there where CU was at a national title level, and CSU was, you know, sitting there with Leon Fuller.
Yeah. But even though it's been competitive, and I'll give you that, since they resumed it, it's been competitive, still doesn't make it a rivalry because there's nothing significant hanging in the balance with that game other than just bragging rights.
Well, I think it's frankly the only rivalry that there is right now for Colorado right now on the schedule. I mean, Utah, they tried to make it that.
It's
Oregon fans are kind of jerks these days. But
I'll tell you who pissed me off last year. I mean, who angered me. I apologize. Who angered me last year?
Can you just not? Can you just not swear on the air, please?
Sorry. UCLA. That game really angered me. The way those players came out, and I thought they were dirty. And maybe it's the whole new Heisel thing at UCLA for a while, but I'm not a big fan of UCLA.
We'll explore Mr. Magoo's issues when we come back right after this.
Mr. Magoo.
It's Darren Copeland. We'll have more of whatever that was coming up.